fulfillment, a veritable harvest, relative to the resurrection and the rapture and the millennium, these things, Lord. And everything indicates it. And we believe that this morning, Lord. And therefore, as we study, we trust that the knowledge of ourselves shall be rounded out even more and more and more firmly impressed upon us, so that we will walk as people ordained to this hour, and there'll be no questions. And Lord, if that is not this hour, we know we have been deceived, but we do not believe we have been deceived. We believe that we have been given truth, and we stand in the truth this morning. So help us to apprehend it in faith as never before. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, in our last study, we reviewed certain information from Ephesians 1:15 to 23, and then we added to it. And I want to do the same thing this morning. So we'll read in Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding of your heart being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power, and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all things with all things." You notice in here, Paul is very definite. Now, I'm going to read verse 17 again, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Now, verse 17 is positively John 1 and 18, and 1 Corinthians 2 and 11. So let's just look at it and understand exactly what we are talking about, because we've already defined that this Spirit is to come into the church and has not previously, or at least for 2,000 years, come into the church as he is to come into the church at this hour. It is not the baptism with the Holy Ghost whatsoever. It is not simply a revelation whatsoever. It is a spirit. And that is the Logos. Now, John was speaking of the Logos, and in verse 18 he says, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is now in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him," or led him forth and shown him, "as he is to be by words." In other words, there is no way that one can receive a true revelation of God, or know God, or being enlightened concerning God outside of revealed word. Now we go to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and in the 11th verse, reading, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." Now it tells you here in a definite manner that there is nothing that you can know about God unless God ordains that he reveals it to you. Then it tells you that the way he does it is through the Holy Spirit taking word, and by word revealing that God. Now therefore you cannot find God in any other way outside of his word. Now, the minute that you divorce God from his word, you're lost. I'm sorry, you're lost. I don't like to be tough up here, but I wouldn't be a servant of God if I mealy-mouthed you. To preach you into heaven and to preach you out of hell, I can't do it. You cannot divorce God from this word. Now, the Pentecostal shut, has an element that disregards the word. So we don't need it anymore. And they will be burned. Now look, I'm not saying they'll be burned because Leedale wants them burned, or Leedale said they're going to be burned. The Bible said the chaff is burned. Now that's not the lake of fire. That's at this hour. Now you cannot divorce God and separate God from that word. Now for, I've read the books. You don't have to believe. But I've read the books. I've got in my library right now the most ancient manuscripts that can be procured, the early church fathers. And let me advise you, for the first time since the first age, a prophet, call him a man of God or whatever you want, has gone back to defining Logos and has presented him as the Word. You see, they began drifting from the original concept. And the church was set on fire by the fires of hell in the 4th century at the Nicene Council, when they threw the Word of God out and brought their own Word in. And anybody guilty of attempting to define God outside of this Word, then he's evangelical and he's on fire. He's lit with the fires of hell. And I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, or who you are lit on fire this morning with the fire of hell. And the very God that you talk about will destroy you. Huh? I'm sorry, I just preach the truth. You do what you want with it. I can't believe anything, but lives are getting changed in this hour and getting face to face with God. This is the Logos. This is the Logos. That was told would be in our midst. You understand why? Because John said he was the Logos made flesh, and he's in the bosom of the Father. And except that one in the bosom of the Father enlighten God's heart to your heart, there's no revelation. Then who's going to do it? Logos. Then who's down here today? Logos. Now that word Logos, you well know from the original Greek, is not only the expression and a word, but contains the thought within it. So therefore, whatever comes down here on earth, beginning with the pillar of fire, and going to the Word, that Word contains God. Now blink about it. Go ahead and blink. I don't mind. Bugs me too. I'm not standing up here so smart and so wonderful, so thoroughly illuminated. And let me tell you, neither was the Apostle Paul and neither was John the Baptist. Because when old John the pressure came down, he got thrown in jail. He said, hey, he said, quickly run and ask, were you the one that I talked about for sure is the one? So if you get all worried this morning at times, get a little, you know, frustrated, Brother Brand said, be my guest. I'll pat you on the back and love you. I ain't going to fuss at you. Look, I get problems too. Because there's certain things that boggle the mind. But if you just accept that it doesn't boggle so bad. And later on, the Spirit of God moving deeper and deeper within the channels of Himself in you. I said moving deeper and deeper within His own channels within you. You're looking at me with intelligence this morning? You're dreaming. I said, God, His own Spirit moving within His own channels within you.
Amen.
The deep things of God begin to come out, and they're not as difficult as you thought. Because you believe. Logos is here this morning. That same Word that was here made flesh. The same one the prophet night after night demonstrated was here, and he said, we'll ask him to come. We don't know if he'll come, but we'll ask him to come. Then he'd say, he is here. Now, how would any man know that God was there in a special way if no man can see God and live? And the fundamentalist dies at this very point because he says, no way. They forget there's prophets, but they deny prophets. Give me one scripture that said God can't act the way he's always acted when it comes to prophets, and tell me why we can't have a prophet. And I'll tell you why you can't go to heaven. And I'll tell you why you're going to burn in hell. Because there's no scripture that says there can't be prophets. That's right. A prophet can see what you and I can't see. Because God's own word said the people themselves set the pattern. Let me not see again and let me not hear again. And God said, that's what you want, that's what you'll get. Now you stand back and say, but hey, I wasn't there. You weren't? Whose loins were you in?
Amen.
Oh, you got a bunch of dogs here this morning? I'm hitting you hard, but I'm not mean in doing it. I'm pricking your conscience. We got a bunch of beasts this morning? We got people ashamed to identify with God that you were in his loins and he made a way for you to come down here by a pure spiritual election and a natural election? Are you ashamed to stand this morning and realize in whose presence you are that he came near you, putting you under that blood in such a way that you could stand this day and not be burnt to a crisp ahead of time? Are you ashamed because the word of God has been manifested? So, Brother Dale, I'm not ashamed of him. I can testify like a house of fire. Take your testimony and drown it. You might be testifying about the wrong God. Because ashamed of him is ashamed of his word. Well, see, I wouldn't be ashamed, Brother Dale, if I had the lovely character of Jonathan Goforth. Jonathan Goforth was a Trinitarian. Had the same man stood in this hour, he'd be condemned to the lake of fire. But he stood in an hour before the revelation came back. So, my, if I had the sweetness of a praying hide, and I had this and I had that, let me tell you, brother, sister, if you don't have him who is the Word, what have you got? And if you deny him who is the Word, what have you got? Where do you stand? So I'm preaching the Parousia this morning. I've been preaching for 8 solid months. I've been preaching a presence. But I'm talking about the person of Almighty God. It's cost me a lot, but it's cost me nothing. This is separating time. There's only one thing the gates of hell will not prevail against, and that's the fact that he is here. And Brother Branham would say, we'll ask him to come. We don't know. He comes and he's here. And then he would say, now if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, what he did when he was here in the flesh, he'll do now that he's here in the spirit. And the revelation that Jesus Christ is here now and the same yesterday, today, and forever was proven night after night after night. And people simply stood back and they said, oh, isn't it marvelous that God does these wonderful things? It is. But I'm going to tell you something. Nature's been out there for 6,000 years and billions of years before that. What's it doing for you? Nothing. The same nature sometime will dissolve. But let me tell you, these bodies that have dissolved and are dissolving are going to come back in a glorious resurrection and will live eternally. Where do you get it in nature? Or you say, Brother Branham said the sun rose and the sun set and the sun rose again and the leaves fell off the trees and they came again. Signifying what? They say resurrection. Where did you get that pinheaded idea by yourself? Had there not been a word, William Branham would have not known one thing about it. He only said that nature in continuity proves what God's word set forth already. It's a witness to it. Well, they didn't like him. First of all, they didn't even know he was to come. But I didn't either. But when we knew he came, that made the difference. Logos. Logos is spirit. For God is spirit. The Bible says so in John 24 and 24, 8, God is spirit, neither worship him, must worship him as spirit and in truth. We go to John 16, verses 27 and 28, and it says, for the Father himself loved you because you've loved me, and because you believe that I came out from the Father. I came forth from the Father, and I come into the world. Again, I leave the world, and I go to the Father. Now, notice what he said. I came forth out of the Father, and you believed it. Now, I'm going back. Now, you tell me. What's to prevent him coming back out of the Father? See, you people stop right there. Well, they say, well, I don't see where he said that in John 16. I know he didn't say it in those particular verses. But he said it in John 16, the verses above it. And he said it in John 14, in the verses above that. And he said it in Luke 17. And he said it in Matthew 24. And Paul caught it up. In Ephesians chapter 1. And John, in 1 John chapter 2. And in the third chapter, second verse. And wrote a whole book on it in Revelation. And two whole books, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, talk about it. Yeah. But nobody wants to believe it. And you tell me how a theologian can sit back with the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian and form a world council of churches and say we're going to stop God because we're going to say that's not the word. You tell me that Israel could stop Jesus being born of a virgin? You tell me they could stop him dying upon the cross and rising again? You tell me a theologian that can stand against a prophet. Can't do it. Logos is here. This is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It says so. He will be one of that. This wisdom and revelation deals with knowledge. He knows something which he will transfer to you. What it says. Might as well take a definitive look at it. Don't get restless. You know why? If I didn't speak hard, you wouldn't get it. It's after tough preaching that you bay down and something happens to you. But if I stand up here sweetening your mouth, you aren't going to get it. I'm sorry, you aren't going to get it. The prophet said so. Now, if you want to fuss, you fuss with God and the prophet of God. Don't fuss with Lee Vail. So you're not going to get me to talk sweet and nice about anything or anybody that lives a lie or anything else. Forget it. You quote the prophet until you get blue in the face. You ain't going to change me because I know better. Because you can quote the prophet and quote yourself plumb into hell, making him Jesus Christ. Or anything else you want. But you better know the doctrine. I'm not a prophet. Never claimed to be. But by the grace of God, I trust that no one can hear my voice and go away without something happening to his mental images until they get down within because there's going to be a change. You say, Brother Vail, what do you believe in? I believe that I am part of that immortality coming on the scene. I've taken my stand and Satan can bug me all he wants. He did his best a couple, 3 weeks ago to destroy me utterly. And he couldn't do it. The gates of hell will not prevail against the revelation. You'll open your eyes to what's really going on. There comes a day when you've got to stand with this or forget it. This wisdom tells us something. In here, it says it brings a revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, simple baptism with the Holy Ghost will not do it. These were baptized with the Holy Ghost. The definitive teaching of Paul at that time could not do it because he prayed for something else. Let me explain it to you. You still with me? And if I'm jarring is good for your kidneys, you need it vibrated. Look, I sat under Brother Branham's ministry for years. I heard altar calls. And those altar calls would shake you from stem to stern. And night after night, I saw preachers supposed to be born again running to the altar for the rebirth. But Lee Vail never moved once. And Lee Vail, in character, in sweetness, in fruit, in about everything, is the cruddiest bunch of the one of the bunch, and yet I wouldn't move. Why? If I have the Holy Ghost, then I can't get the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I believed I was baptized with the Holy
Glory
Ghost.
To God.
I was convinced that I was. Then why would I come again? Now what I'm trying to show you is this. If the baptism with the Holy Ghost would have done this, then Paul could not have been any man at all. I'd take his Jewish beak in my two fingers and twist it. And look him in the eye. And say, Paul, I got more than you got. If you want to get the Holy Ghost all over again, then seeing is seeing. But he's not saying that. He's saying God is going to visit his people. And at that time, give to those people in his visitation a definitive revelation of himself. And it's something they didn't have. It's not as though they didn't have it in the potential. I explained that the last time by many scriptures showing you. Going to Ephesians again, where Paul said, this great mystery of Christ in the Gentiles was not known as it's known at this hour. It was reserved for a special time when God himself did a special thing. When God turned from the Jews and went to the Gentiles. God himself did it. Paul didn't do it.
Amen.
Paul prayed here that God himself, the Logos, would come on the scene with the definitive revelation amongst the people, which means one thing. He was not able to get across to them what he knew. The same as way back there in the prophets of the Old Testament. They couldn't get across until the hour of that word's time. Then it would be gotten across. So he's praying here that the Holy Spirit would bring the definitive revelation of God in the midst of his people. And what God was doing. Now, speaking on Ephesians, Brother Branham said in Daniel 70th week, and I read it to you, the Spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Now notice how carefully he is there. He lets you know that nobody can do this but God himself. And God is here. But God has always been here through the baptism with the Holy Ghost corporately. It can't do it. It can't do it. It's going to take God himself to come to a people full of the Holy Ghost individually and corporately. And God himself will stand there and declare himself. And that's what it is. And that's why he's so explicit. The wisdom of the Spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. He said, William Branham said it. William Branham was nothing but a voice. If God could use Balaam's jackass, don't tell me he couldn't use a nice little fellow like Brother Branham. And at the same time, Brother Branham be nothing. Because the more contact a man has with God, the more a man is used to God, the less that man is in his own sight. All right. He said to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, bringing the church in and revealing what day we're living in. That's why I said this morning, is this a juncture? Is this a juncture? If it is, we better know about it. What juncture is it? Now, Just the same as Gabriel came to Daniel. Prophesying angelic visitation. Now, with it, he identifies the angelic visitation with the Holy Spirit. So, look, you understand what I'm saying? God, Holy Spirit came forth pillar of fire. God, Holy Spirit came forth veil in the cloud. God, Holy Spirit came forth in a whirlwind. God, Holy Spirit came forth just a voice. See? Now, you've got God, Holy Spirit coming forth in a man. Then you've got Him coming forth at this hour in a pillar of fire. And to that prophet, He will come forth veiled in angels. Hear what I said? You tell me what's to stop Him. Say, well, Brother Vail, nobody ever preached that. What do I care what anybody preached? Nobody gets saved by any other gospel than the true gospel. Nobody gets any help other than by the truth. I don't care if man preaches, it's aligned with the word. Okay? You say, Brother Vail, I really don't know if the Holy Spirit ever identified as an angel. Well, I'll explain it to you. An angel came down and stood before the parents of Samson before he was born. Manoah the father, and I forget the mother's name. And when they entreated him, they said, what's your name? Now in the translation you find it says secret. That's not true at all. He said, my name is Wonderful. Whose name is Wonderful? God. Every one of those names bestowed upon Jesus, of course. So who came down in angel form? God did. Who came down the form of a man? The day of Abraham. God did. So the Holy Spirit revealed to Brother Branham. Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 17. That the Spirit of wisdom would come into the church to make known to the church by His own revelation. Which would bring the church in. To the hour that God said. I'm going to ask you a question because you'd be confused right there. You say, well, Brother Vail, in this hour doesn't everything come in? Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Is He going to bring the church in? No. He'd get purged. Is He going to bring the wicked in? No. They get destroyed. Who's He bringing in? Bride. Who goes into the marriage supper? Who goes to the bridal chamber? Bride! And who gets brought in? I ask you a question. It's not very often, I don't think I've ever heard of, where one man married a group of women at one time. Let's say that man decides he's going to have three wives in one night, so he has the marriage ceremony for him. Well, which does he get to first? Which does he kiss first, all the rest? Good question, eh? I want to ask you a question. Who did Jesus make love to? Who does He tell His secrets to? Who does He bring in? World church? No. Only ones brought in. But the wedding garment. Does He speak to and know His voice and reveal Himself? There's nothing more revealing about a man and woman physically than nakedness. And there's nothing more revealing about anybody, period, even God, when that God or that person unveils His mind and His heart by speaking a word to the listener. I can stand up here and fool you completely. I had in my mind years ago to fool everybody. My wife will tell you. I said, look, we ain't getting nowhere. Not in this message. I mean that. This is years and years ago. Way back. Before I quit preaching the first time. And came back and I'll die. But I ain't going to quit. Angels come and get me in a hurry. But I told her, I said, look. I can take gospel to the United Church up there in Canada. I was a Canadian by birth, see? I'll come in there. Look, you don't know, but there was a time I was very suave. I will not tell you all about it because that's none of your business. But you believe me that I was as suave as they came. My language, my deportment was perfect. I'm not lying to you. I kept myself in check and everything else. My wife will tell you what I was like years and years ago. And I said, I will capitalize on everything I can inculcate into my mind and my very being, and I will sneak the gospel into the Methodist Presbyterian and Methodist Church combined. Well, let me tell you something. No person suave, no person with a certain temperament, a certain ability, can do the work of the Holy Spirit. And I care less how you and I might be when it comes to these ingratiating qualities that we may bestir within ourselves or birth within ourselves. The Spirit of God can only bring, and He alone can bring that revelation, and He alone can only tell the bride, and that bride alone is the only one that can receive the revelation of Almighty God. Now, man, as I say, can be very suave. And maybe he had three wives all lined up, and he's going to be very nice to each one. Well, which one would he start with? I never heard of any man marrying two or three men on one night, though I suppose it's possible. I don't know. Well, but I asked you the question. To whom did Jesus make love? I'll tell you who he makes love. The Spirit of wisdom coming into the church, revealing to the church his presence, the hour in which they are living, bringing that church in, and revealing the secrets and the mysteries of God. This is a love story. But you know something? Man couldn't take the love story. I'm not going to preach this sermon this morning. Forget it. I'll let you out here early if I have a chance. If I don't, you sit there. Otherwise, I'll let you stand up and walk around and then come back. Listen, let me tell you a love story. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. And the love story began to unfold, even in marriage and divorce, which stunk in the nostrils of just about everybody, and even made men in this message, so-called in the message, ran and said, ha, I get it. One rooster, many hens. You dirty bunch of birds. When did an eagle have a lot of hens? Even a goose mates for life and dies lonely if the mate's gone most of the time. But William Branham's message stunk to high heaven to most people because he told the love story of foreknowledge, election, predestination, God Himself in human flesh dying for the elect. And he described the fall. He took a woman, made her out of the original, because it was unbecoming to him in the original creation that a son would fall. And when the whole thing was explained, the love story, and God deliberately, as I said many times, I don't like the phrase, but it's the only phrase I can use in this 20th century day, he spilled his guts. That's right. God unveiled Himself, then veiled Himself in words that men might know. And they turned the love story down. And they walked off. They never came in. They'll never come in. Because it's too late. Now listen. This Spirit given in order to reveal Himself, that we might know God as we've never known God before. Where the Spirit spoke to Brother Branham and said, how would you like to take a walk with me? I know you sit here and you say, that was for Brother Branham. That's for every bride. You think for 1 minute I ever believed that God would allow me the privilege of knowing a guiltlessness before Him when I spit in His face 45 years ago? I spit in God's face so often. That's why they plucked His beard and spit in His face as a type to what guys like you and me would do. I'm announcing it to you and telling you the truth. I spit in God's face. I did despot to the Spirit of love and grace. It's wonder He didn't kill me. I've told you, and I mean, if I'd have been God, it'd have killed me. So you can tell where I stand this morning in grace and mercy. Do you think for 1 minute that of myself I'd ever believe that I would be to the place where there's no fear? I'm going to shock you this morning and shock the daylights right out of you. What happened a few weeks ago, I sat on my bed fondling 100 sleeping tablets and a bottle of 180 proof to make sure I'd go out. And something said that people wouldn't understand it because they don't know what you know, that you're not afraid of death to where you could walk out. Do you hear me this morning? I'm telling you, son, I spilled my guts. You hear me this morning, you people? They want to play around here this morning with your legalistic concepts. Do you hear me?
Amen.
I'm angry at this point. Because I can read some of you like books. You're legal. The prophet of God stretched out His hands to take two wires. He could have walked out of this world without a fear, just a sorrow. You still don't understand, do you? Because you're playing this morning. You're still playing around. Too much denomination still in your systems. I hate to be this way, but I'm going to be this way because I know what goes on. Don't tell me I don't, because I know. Get out of yourselves. You're in the process of change, not short change. Man has consistently changed going down, and God came on the scene that man can consistently go up. Now, I don't fear death. I don't fear God. I'm embarrassed a lot of times. But the blood stands there. I never knew. The gracious answers and what could happen. And I'm not boasting. Don't ever think for 1 minute I don't get troubled at times. Don't think the devil doesn't throw the whole book at me. I'll preach on it someday and you'll understand what I'm talking about. So you'll know where it's going to start to come from. Why I raised my voice and said certain things, you'll know. You'll know why I made one little statement that the prophet covered in 14 pages. And I'll preach my 2-hour sermon on it. To show you why he told me certain things. Let me tell you, brother, sister, that prophet was a first fruit. A first fruit of the grace of God waved over the people of a super, super race to the point that approaches unto the very headstone in flesh. Are we at that juncture? I say we are at that juncture. We are in a process. And it only takes one step on your part, and that's faith. Some of you are still confused. You've had too much consecration preached to you and dedication of the wrong kind. Yeah. Too much of the old legalistic Nazarenes, Salvation Army, Pentecostal, Amish, Dunkard, River Brethren, God knows what spirit. You got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I'm going to ask you one question this morning. How many of you brought about your own birth? I'm glad that you did. You're wonderful people. You don't belong on this earth. Where did you come from? How did you get here? Not even Jesus brought about his own birth. And if you didn't bring about your own birth, why don't I ask you a second question? How did you bring about your rebirth? You never.
Amen.
I'm asking you, will you bring about your death? Well, if you're not like me, you just might do it, though I'm pretty sure I won't. And if you die, will you bring about your resurrection? And aren't you content this morning to believe that God will do something for you?
Amen.
I don't care where you are in the totem pole, my brother and my sister. No, I don't care. See, I don't care where you're at. God can take the varmint off the dung heap. The beggar whose sores are licked by a dog and exalt him to princehood. We would have had an uncommon Savior who met a few needs but didn't meet the blanket necessities. I've got a God who meets the blanket necessities. So if there's a cry in my heart that I want something, you know what it's based upon? A need. A need. A desire. Something that always was there, or something He put there, or something that's come there, not through meditation or premeditation, but suddenly you found it there. What is your greatest cry this morning? You want healing? You want to be able to go to your wife and talk like you never talked before? Huh? Come on. I'm hitting tender spots this morning. I intend to. You can't get along with your wife, so you want to boss somebody else. You mothers let your kids go, and you make it hell for your husbands. So I can talk this way because God talked to me. I got worried about my wife, whether I'd leave her or not, in death or something. I can't prove it's God. Only time will tell. He said, don't worry. By that, I meant either she'd go about the time I go or something good would happen. She'd be all right. I've talked to her for years about certain things that never made a dent in it, but God did overnight what I couldn't do. She doesn't even know how she's changed, but I watch her. She's changed. What do you want this morning? What really is on your heart? I read it to you and I told you He can do infinitely above that. You and I haven't even thought of it. We haven't dreamed of it. As those things that haven't entered the heart of man that God has revealed, He now reveals this. God is far away and beyond any need that sin ever created. Let me read it again. I'm going to Romans. Oh, that's the book that Luther loved, and that's the book that I love, because I am eternal security inside out and upside down, hopefully, and getting more and more every day like it. Verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. He said, there's no comparison, don't even try. For as high as the heavens is above the earth, and they've shot it out there millions and millions and millions of miles until it went to light years, they still can't plumb it. So is His mercy, far above our needs. In the depth of the sea of His forgetfulness, not in the sea out there. Oh, forget it, they can plumb that. In the depths of God's mercy, He has hidden our sins. For though through the offense of one many be dead, much more. What's he talking about? Death. What counteracts death? Life. And if he's standing here this morning, opening the graves is nothing. Clothing those cells that went to gases, nothing. Merely a cry, come out! And what about us standing here? Look, I gave up years ago trying to have pure thoughts, they just don't exist. I gave up years ago trying to be suave. It never would have worked anyway. How can you be suave in a day like this when everything is down here in the dirt? You only enter into more seduction. God knows we've had too much of that already. Do you know what it's going to be like to be immortal? Nobody knows. But the exercise of the power of the same Holy Spirit that's within us, that sealed us, standing here amongst us, is going to take everyone beyond our wildest dreams. Listen, you kids sitting here, you've got your ideas on romance. It's wonderful. But marriage to him is going to be a billion times greater. What you see, feel, and thank God for is a slight wind in the desert compared to the mercy and grace of God on the highest order. The homes that you struggle to build, there'll be nothing like the home you'll build for yourself in the millennium and what he's got ready in New Jerusalem. I don't care what the cry of your heart is today. I don't care what the cry of my heart is. I've known for years, and he said, you've got it. Like Abraham, I can stand here this morning and die not having received. I know it's mine. I'm bound to have it, and hell shall not deny me. All the hosts of hell shall not deny me. I'm defiant this morning, brother, sister. Yeah? You said, Brother Vail, if you saw him, I should run. Yep, I would. If I saw Billy Goat, I'd run. If I saw a small bobcat, I'd run. But from this word, I will not run. No way. Once the mind is thoroughly pregnant, once the mind is even a wee bit pregnant, I'm going to ask you a question. When a woman gets pregnant, how much is she pregnant? She's pregnant. She's not a lot pregnant. She's not a wee bit pregnant. As soon as insemination takes, she's pregnant. I'm going to tell you something. You'll never get away from this word. If your true seed, it's your life. If you're not, you're stuck with your conscience. And you'll preach it and testify for conscience sake. Huh? If the pregnancy's in the fallopian tubes, it won't work. But it's pregnancy just the same. It'll abort. If it's in the womb of your mind, and we tie this morning, and you believe it because you got no choice, not because I say it, because it's true. If you're pregnant with the Word of God, it's all over. It's all over. Because it's going to run its course. God does not have abortions. You say, what about the fact you just said a while ago you'll abort? That's because you weren't impregnated by God himself. You just listened to her and you thought you had it. You saw something and didn't know what was behind it. You understand what I'm saying this morning? You're sitting here because you want to change. That you're a part of immortality. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Merciful heaven, if you don't believe that, what are you believing for? So I said to begin with, we're at a juncture, or are we? If we're at a juncture, what juncture are we at? Now Noah preached for rain. Rain and destruction. Except for eight people. One was pure human, seven were loused up. Oh, it didn't matter. God was dealing in election anyway. By foreknowledge. I want to ask you, did it happen? I ask you a question. As soon as God told Noah, and Noah said that one word, wait, I want to ask you, was it over? Yep. It was over. Could never be changed. Once the prophet told us what he told us, proving it was God who told him to tell us, it's over.
Amen.
It's over. You say, what if I got to wait 10 more years? Keep waiting, but I don't think you will. The space of half an hour, I don't care where you put it, is about to run out. And you cannot believe for 1 minute that Israel became a nation in 1946 and sanctioned worldwide in 1948 and go past 40 years. Six to go. You can't sit here and bleed for 1 minute. We'll not have a showdown with Russia. Bam, we'll both go up in smoke. You can't sit here and not know that atomic waste and chemical waste is destroying everybody, and except for the mercy of God, God destroying the people, instead of the last one standing there and breathing in the stench and the filth, and finally dying in a mental, ungodly condition. He repents as in Noah's day, and he says, I'll take them on. But I'm getting out of here.
Amen.
I hate to admit that I'm ready for heaven, but I hate to admit that heaven's not ready for me. No two ways about it. So he stands in our midst. Okay, let's keep reading. For if through the offense of one man he be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace which is by one man, Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, was Adam here? Yes. Did he do it? Yes. Have you got evidence? Yes. I want to ask you a question. Was Jesus here? Yes. Did he do it? Yes. Have you got evidence? Oh, brother, there's never been evidence like this hour. Never been evidence. What are you looking for? Shall I take my Polaroid camera, which I haven't got? First, I'll go to a good camera shop and put a little hole in it so that some nice red things will flash out. Pretty cartwheels. I might even get it fixed where I've got a beautiful angel standing on both sides of me. I really need an army of them to keep me... Oh, I'm just kidding. For God's word can keep me straight. I don't need angels or anything else, although I got them. So have you. Oh, yeah, every redeemed one's got an angel. Don't ever tell me you don't, because you do. That's scripture. That's verified by the prophet of God. All right. Was Adam here? Yes. Did he do it? Yes. Is it proven? Yes. Was Jesus here? Yes. Did he do it? Yes. Is it proven? Yes. Ha-ha. But here's where unbelief comes in. And unbelief says, but not as the free gift was, so was that rotten offense. For since by the death of one, we can see that nothing really happened, well, we're in tough luck. Now, I am known to be very crass and very crude, and I've just demonstrated it. Because I have read it the way the carnal mind wants to read it, even in this hour. Do you realize what I'm saying here, that God came down in the form of human flesh in Jesus Christ to begin the true centrality of all redemption? And the same one that was in him is here now to finish it. And how can anybody put his eyes on sin and be taken up with it instead of righteousness? Didn't I tell you that God told me it's not in the heavens, it's not in the earth, it's in the Word, go to the Word? And I went to the Word in obedience. And then He said, now I don't want you looking at the world out there. I don't even want you looking at the church out there. I want you to see what's the prize. I've done it. I'm going to preach more on it. I'm going to do more of it by the grace of God. I've been as faithful as Brother Branham to tell you what God gave him by vindication. I'm as faithful to tell you what comes out of this Word by a vindicated prophet that happens in my life. And I'm telling you something. Why do you bother looking at Adam? Why do you look at sin? Why bother what's out there? Let me tell you something. Let's get this from the board now. The minute this church begins to look at Him and the perfections of Him in righteousness. And I'm talking about Lee Vail doing it too. I'm not leaving me out as though I've arrived. I'm just smartening up finally. Pooh! After 67 years. I almost beat myself out of 2 years there. 67 dull years. So between. Finally smartening up. From the ministers on down to the board which represents the church, to the church itself, to begin to see what God told me to look at. Something's going to happen. It will be the foundation if gifts ever get in that room. It'll be the first step of bringing that sweet spirit behind the curtain of time into this building. I'm telling you the truth. Don't worry about it. I'm not here lying to you. Listen. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. 10 billion people born in sin and hellbound. That's a lot of people. One man did it. What did the other man do? No comparison. For when the last tear is wiped away and the last memory is gone, there'll be no recollection of sin. You'll be back in the beginning with God. You believe that this morning? If you don't, you better shake yourselves and wise up, because you're hearing a warning of the last day. I will face you down the road, my brother, my sister. I will. I will. You say you make yourself something. You talk to God. Don't talk to me. You stick around and find out. I'm telling you the truth. 10 billion people. Millions of angels. History of 6,000 years of corruption and damnation. And hardly a trickle of evidence of what Jesus the Christ stood for. And one day everything that He stood for will stand there magnified a billion times. And there won't even be one thought or one memory of what happened in those 4 billion. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For judgment was by one to condemnation. Adam condemned every one of us. One sin brought us all into bondage. And you know something? We haven't been satisfied to be born in sin. We've capitalized on it. I want to ask you a question. Was Pharaoh a sinner? Yeah. Did he have to kill those kids? No. He deliberately made himself rottener Look back in your own lives. Look back yesterday, the day before, and the years before. What were the things you were doing? What are you doing now? I want to ask you, who's making you do it? You say, well, in here. You're right. Backslide 1,000 times. No perfection this side of the resurrection. Now listen. One man. Then what have 10 billion men done? And 10 billion men and women. Huh? Now you see, you're looking at yourselves. And I'm letting you do it. But I turn you right around and look at him. And it says, many offenses unto declaration of not a sinner, but God saying, you're righteous. And you say, but Lord, look, I'm the son of Adam. I'm all messed up. God, I wish. He said, hold it. You don't wish for what you already got. I've declared you righteous. And every born one righteous. I'm telling you something. You know, you read in the Bible about Adam's one sin, don't you? I want to ask you a question. Have you read anywhere else in the Bible where Adam did any sins? Uh-uh. One sin. You think Adam's going to make it? The blood sacrifice stood there. Right in the garden. Don't tell me the blood's ever going to fail. It only failed to Cain. And you know why it failed? He wouldn't do it. 10 billion. I'm part of it. And you know what? Let's get this straight. Every juncture, God demands retribution for all generations preceding it. Huh? Noah, the generation, got it. For all generations ahead. Israel, Titus, 70 AD, all generations ahead. And this generation, my brother and my sister, is going to get it. Now, Brother Branham said, I think he said this, if I'm not sure. Not exactly sure, but I think I'm sure. I don't know the tape, but I believe he said this. The Catholic vow of the Knights of Columbus, where you can have your bowel filled and sulfuric acid poured in. And every rotten thing that could cause you pain and diabolical discomfort and torture. He said, I would sooner have that than a moment in the tribulation. Now, he might have said, going to that land of never, never. He could have said it concerning the two. But I do believe he said, rather than tribulation. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. The sins of 2,000 years are going to be judged within the next decade or less, I believe, with all my heart, or something is wrong. And we've got 2,000 years to go. Because history proves junctures every 2,000 years. And if we missed it, there's two to go. But it can't go. There's no place to go. There's no place to go. Now listen, if it's piled up, and it is, what's it mean to be in the presence of him who came down here as in the days of Lot in Sodom and says, I will now find out by my own witnessing with my own eyes, and I will stand amongst them and make my judgment, and I will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. Because listen, I should have my blackboard here, but it's all right. Righteousness has reached its consummation, even as sin has. And as light overcomes darkness, even though it be a small sulfur match lit in the midnight gloom, so the grace of God stands this morning in the face of the perfidy and the millions of years that Satan has had to plan, concoct, devise, and bring to pass the rottenness that's out there. One drop of blood can scatter it all. One drop of blood on this ground will bring the bodies out. Then you tell me that I'm to stand back and gaze at Adam's sin and what's out here in the world? He told me right. He said, look, you look at what's in there for you. And then he showed me about it. By the grace of God, I'm going to preach on it. To show you and to show me, because I want to study it myself and get into my own heart myself, because I know it's there. That every time I see evil, grace does abound. And when I see wickedness, righteousness is crowning us all by the mercy seat of Almighty God. And when I see the famished, impoverished condition of the church, I see my richness and my fullness in Him who gave Himself for me. See? That Spirit is in the church revealing Himself. And that's all I'm going to say. I haven't got number one page done. Doesn't bother me at all. What was on my heart, indirectly, I brought out this morning. When I raise my voice and sounds as though I'm condemning you, let me tell you this. If I did not have the knowledge of a wrongness in here myself, I could not preach the way I preach. If I did not know my own limitations, I could not for one minute describe yours. Because we're all human. There's not one here got different aspirations. You only give it different names. There's not one here got different feelings. You only have them about certain people and certain other things that everybody else has about certain people and certain other things. But it's the same thing. It's the same thing. And you know, it's time to make the simple commitment I made several months ago, and I got to keep doing it because it's a simple commitment. It's easier to believe than not believe. We're not getting anywhere with disbelief. But we can go a long way by belief. See what I'm saying? There's nothing out there that's worth anything, but there's everything in here that is eternal. There's no answers out there, but there's every answer in here. There's nothing but death out there. There's nothing but life here. There's nothing but tragedy and remorse and degradation out there. There's nothing but victory, uplifting, and immortality here. And we're at a juncture. Now, it's not hard. Do you choose this morning to say it's easier to believe than not believe? It is easier. If you don't believe it, you go back when Joshua and Caleb and those men went to the promised land and 10 went with them and the 10 came back saying, oh, no, no, there's no way. And the people said, oh, no, no, there's no way. And they walked for 40 years and suffered. They paid a terrible price when it was so easy to say, hey, that looks great. And this is the hour, and I have seen it, and God said it. That's mine. And they say, well, what if you die? Who cares? I'm going to get it anyway. Mine eyes have seen the vision of the glory of the Lord. My heart has seen what Brother Branham saw. I can't explain it, but a voice echoed back and said, that's yours. The same voice that said, you're healed, William Branham. And he stood there crying before the congregation, I'll never forget it, and you that are there will never forget it, and you can visualize it when you hear the tape on the wings of a dove. And he said, why would God heal me now? But he died in the same condition. I'd be dead tomorrow morning. I still believe I'm going to be immortal. I still believe I'll be here to partake of that sweet spirit. And if I'm not, like Brother Branham, I'll go over there and get it. See, what's the difference if he comes and gives it or I go and get it? Now, if we had a bar of gold here and somebody said to this church, now look, there's a bar of gold for you. He'd say, hey, I'll come and get it. You wouldn't wait for the guy to bring it. But what if the fellow said, no, I'm going to bring it? See, well, if I went and got it, I'd get it quicker. See, that's what I'm thinking. But it's all right. Because I'm going to have it. I'm going to have it. See, how do you know? Within myself, I do not. Within myself, I have no hope. But whatever it is, this led me this far, has told me it's mine, so it's mine. If, like Paul, I get confused and say, I better go and talk to somebody, or like John, I've got to send emissaries. Let me tell you something. It didn't change the truth one bit. For the faithfulness of God is all the more clearly seen through unbelief. As Brother Branham said, it takes a bad woman to make the good woman look good. I don't care what comes. I don't say that as though I don't care. I'm slap happy. I'm free. I say it with my heart pounding a little more. My nerves a little more edgy. But he said it. It's mine. I'm going to have it. I don't care how I get there, how it gets to me. I don't care what shape I'm in. No, I don't. Because I know he fed his saints to animals. And their carcasses were dung on the floor of the arena. They literally smeared Brother Branham to death in a car. Others were burnt at a stake. I've got all history lying behind me, scriptural, to let me know it doesn't matter about the individual. That imperishable seed will come back to the master sower. It will come back with the body that the seed was planted for. You don't plant oats to get barley. You plant oats to get oats. He planted that seed in you and me this morning to get an immortal body. Get your eyes off of all these things. Help me and I'll help you to get our eyes off of all these things that really are no longer consequential. Like the old song, I suppose it was said, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly while the near waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storms of life are past. The other man said, there's a storm coming. But he said that gyro has been set, he said. The compass put that boat on a steer course. And he said, the sails are set. He said, everything is set. That old boat's going through. Now, I'm going to close in saying this to help you perhaps more than anything I've said this morning. And that is this, the baptism with the Holy Ghost comes without sensation. Comes without feelings. Comes without phenomenon. And if he comes that way, he stays that way. Don't look for your pictures. If you do, I'll oblige you. I'll get that camera and I'll give you all you want. I'll even help somebody fake it for you. That makes you happy, but you'll die. God deals in one thing and one thing alone, and that's His Word. Because He's in that Word. Don't go by your sensations. I don't like to get torn up about people. I don't like to get angry. But I do get highly disturbed at times. I give people the right hand of fellowship. I'll say we'll do what we can for you. One thing, we'll preach the word the best we know to help you. But Mom, a sister dear, has dreams. So Papa's not the head of the house because Mama's got dreams. I'll tell you something. Put your dreams in the garbage tin. And weld the lid on. We're not here for sensations. Sensations are fine. I'm not against it because the body, we're sensate creatures. But keep sensations where they belong. Keep your faith where it belongs. It's in that word, in God speaking back that word to your heart. And you becoming, as it were, conversational with Him who is the Word. And you can converse back and forth with this Word. The glow of the life within the Word permeates our being. Brother, sister, listen, I'm speaking beyond myself. I'm speaking in Christ this morning because Lee Vale cannot produce it. And you cannot produce it. There's no way, but He will. And He's doing it. Brother Branham said things are happening so fast out there in that desert where God called him alone. Why, he said, word is turning to flesh, flesh is turning to word, and word's going right back to word. What's that, 18 years ago now? 17 years ago? Well, how long was it since I shook his hand? Just like yesterday? What is age? Age is nothing. Up here is what counts. Sensations are fine, but that's not. It's up here what counts. The behemoth that cannot add two and two and play good football, forget it. Better to have an idiot. As about as husky as a vegetable, with one word of God in faith, one day He will rule universes. I'm appealing to your minds this morning, although I hope your hearts are involved, because that gets your attention. But let me tell you this, this mind is the womb of the Spirit. This mind is the doorway to your inside. And this word, illuminated by the Holy Ghost, must come to pass. And it will come to pass where it was predestinated. For when God said, let there be light, it was light to this earth and not to the universes out yonder. Hear what I'm saying? Amen. When He said, let the earth bring forth, it wasn't Mars that got it. It wasn't Jupiter. It was earth. When He gave this word to a bride today, it was the bride that received it, and this word will be in that bride, and she will be that word. And that word of this hour is, as Jesus stands here, Holy Spirit Himself, and He said, whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never perish. Do you believe this? Yesterday He said, he that liveth and believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That was yesterday. Today He said, shall never perish. Do you believe that this morning? Huh? Do you believe that this morning? I'm not talking about Joe Bush and John Doe and Little Hilda out there. I'm talking this morning to you. Do you believe that? If you don't, what do you believe? It's Brother Branham, I keep repeating. He said, the trouble is, it's always back there. You're looking, always looking forward. What are you looking at now? Abraham looked for a city now. He hasn't got it yet. I'm looking today for immortality. Now look, will you please understand what I'm saying? I stand here as the least among you. You don't know that, but I prefer every brother in this place and sister above myself. Now, that's funny to hear that coming out of me, but God knows my heart. It is the truth. That is my nature. What I'm saying this morning, I was not put here to die in this hour. That's my stand. If I die, wonderful. Brother Branham stood believing that he would stand here saying, "Behold the Lamb of God," and we misread it. He did say, "Behold the Lamb of God." And we saw him as mortal, I could never see him. And if I've seen him. Now listen. Manoah and his wife said, "We have seen God face to face. We're going to die." And they suddenly said, "Now hold it. How can we die if we're going to have a baby?" It was God in angelic form. That's why they could live. Now, when you see him in here, we don't only stand here and live and then die. It's immortality. Understand what I'm saying? Get your sights up this morning. See, I'm past worrying what anybody said. How can you say you're... Oh, shut up! I can say what I want! It's a free country! If you don't like my preaching, just somebody this morning tell me, and I'll never be in this pulpit again. I see what I mean? I'll go where they want to hear it. For somebody wants to hear the clarion sound, "I shall not die but live." Somebody's got to say it. And the hunkiest junk of all is going to say it. Yeah. I'm going to say it. If I die tomorrow morning, he told me. Lift your eyes. Heavenly Father, merciful God, loving companion, wonderful husband, King of kings and Lord of lords, full of grace, full of truth, everything, everything. And we becoming that through you. This morning, Lord, we have stood with your word. And by the grace of God, not presumptuously, but faithfully. And with the understanding of the Holy Spirit given, that as the prophet said, "I am healed," and could pass on tomorrow to receive the utter healing. And Lord, I could leave this earth also and receive the uttermost of that thing that I've longed for all my life as nothing else. The sweet spirit beyond the curtain of time. To not just live and let live, but be an instrument of life. Part of the great ocean of eternity, reflecting every grace, coming to the place reflecting.